Hello, welcome to Plauta Financial Wellness Hub. This is Vignesh. Today we are Joshua, who's our FCA regulator financial advisor. Today we want to talk about how to invest and where to start. Let's say if I have like a spare of 100 pounds per month, which is kind of, after my expense, how can I use that money to grow that money, or, you know, money works for me.
Yeah.
So what's your take on that,
Joshua? Okay. Hi, Vignesh. Good to see everyone again. Nice to see you. Thanks for welcoming me back. I think that, you know, that really depends on what plans do you have, right? What does that £100 a month represent, right? Do you want to buy something in 3 months? Do you want to buy something in 12 months? Do you want to go on holiday 2 years down the line? Those are the questions you need to ask yourself before deciding where to put that £100 a month, because the answer to those questions will give you the time horizon you have until you need to use that money, right? So if you've got £100 coming in every month, that's spare cash, and you have no intention of spending it until 2030, right? You have a 5-year runway to save and invest that money, right? So over that 5-year time, you can take a little bit more risk with your savings and investments than you would be able to if you had a 12-month goal of going on holiday this time next summer, right? So I think that's the important question, understanding what your short-term, medium-term, and long-term spending goals are, and then allocate your funds to each pot.
Okay. And do you recommend to use different accounts to allocate? Because some people, they have a thing like, okay, let's say I don't want to have everything in my same account. I want to straight away, once I get my paycheck, I want to allocate. That's the best practice.
And, you know, it all depends on how disciplined you are as a person, right? So if somebody is out there and they can have £100 going in to their current account every month and allow that balance to build up, then that's okay, right? You may not be getting the best savings rate on that money, but from a discipline point of view, you know that it's there and you know you're not going to spend it. For other people, when they get the extra £100 a month coming in, their natural instinct is to spend it, right? And, you know, it's a problem we, you know, lots of people have, that they spend because it's there. So by siphoning off the excess funds to different pots, whether that's a separate account, a savings account, a cash ISA, whatever it is, if that's what works for you to put a ring fence around that money and say, I'm not spending it, then that's a good way to proceed.
Okay, fine. So let's say, like, okay, now I plan my short-term, medium, and long-term, and I've allocated certain money into those pots, which is growing, which is good. Still, I have some extra cash. What your recommendation is? Where to invest them? Or should I invest them on my pensions? Right? We will come to the pension, but how can I use that money? Because at the end of the day, I like my money to work for me. Like, as a long-term, I don't want to work till, you know, I get older. And I think we want everyone to educate on, you know, how to invest their money carefully so that the money can work for themselves.
So I think, you know, as a starting point, tax efficiency is very important.
Okay.
Because the last thing you want as an investor is to be hit with a tax bill when you come to sell down on those investments, right? That's something that lots of people fall into that trap because they don't understand exactly what, for instance, an ISA represents, right? So an ISA represents a wrapper around the money that's held within that ISA to grow in a tax-efficient way. Now, no matter what happens in that ISA, there'll be no interest tax to pay, there'll be no dividend tax to pay, there'll be no capital gains tax to pay. All of the growth within that is tax-free. So that's why when it comes to this extra £100 a month that you're talking about, Vignesh, you need to start with the tax efficiencies so that you're not later hit with a tax bill because you've put it in the wrong place.
Okay. And can you explain, because there are different types of tax, stock, right? You know, ISAs, which is stock and shares, and there's LISA as well, lifetime ISAs, and cash ISA. Like, what do you recommend to people, like, which ISAs are best for them to choose or pick?
Yeah, so that all, you know, it always comes down to what are your plans? Because this is your journey, your plan that you're building for your financial future, right? So it's not possible to sit here and say a cash ISA is the best one to use, a lifetime ISA is the best one to use, stocks and shares are the way forward, because if you've only got 2 years until you're looking to touch this money and you're very risk cautious, then a cash ISA may be the right place to put the funds. But if you've got a long time until you're going to start using these funds and you just want a place where it can grow at the potentially the highest rate, then a stocks and shares ISA is going to be the right product. Now, what goes into that stocks and shares ISA is a separate discussion, because the term stocks and shares ISA is essentially just the wrapper, right? Now, anything can be, not anything, but within that stocks and shares wrapper, you can invest in cash-based products, right? So it could be that the stocks and shares wrapper is the right place to put the funds, even though you want to invest in cash, right? So it's all about understanding what are your investment time horizons and your risk profile to invest those funds.
And what is the limit between those stuff? I think stock and Lisa got 4,000 limit, and cash and cash at the moment there's no limit, but
There's £20,000.
£20,000 as a whole.
So the overall limit is £20,000.
Okay.
Into an ISA each tax year. Now £4,000 of that can go into a lifetime ISA maximum, and £16,000 then would be able to go into either a cash ISA or a stocks and shares ISA.
Okay.
Now if you didn't invest into the lifetime ISA, then you could put £20,000. Between this cash ISA and the stocks and shares ISA, depending on where you need that money to go.
And can you explain about what is lifetime ISA, which is LISA, means? Like, what is the restriction? Who can start out and when to start? Because I know they have to start before they are 40.
Exactly, yeah.
And so, it ends by 50, the investment term, right?
Yeah, so whatever funds you put into the lifetime ISA will get an automatic 25% return on them, right? That is from the government. Now, the lifetime ISA is designed to help people get onto the property ladder so that when you come to purchase your property, you can cash in the lifetime ISA.
Okay.
Right? So if you use the lifetime ISA for purchasing your first property, you are able to cash in the government bonus.
Okay.
Right? If you were in a position where you'd maxed out the lifetime ISA for a number of years, but all of a sudden you needed access to that cash, which wasn't for buying a property, you would then lose the government bonus that was put in. So that is one of the rules. The other one is, if you don't use it for purchasing your first property, you can still use it when you come to retirement. So beyond the age of 55, currently 57 in the future, you can access those funds still with that government bonus intact.
Okay. And is there any particular place where we can go? Personally, I'm using Moneybox to use my lifetime ISA. Is there anything else you recommend, or do you guide, like, for our viewers?
Yes, you know, for me, you know, as an independent financial advisor, I can recommend any of the products that are on the market.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Which means that when you engage with somebody like myself, we're able to not work for the providers, but work for you to find the best solution for you. So it's not a one size fits all. There's no, this is the best lifetime ISA available.
Okay.
It's about what it works for you in terms of finding the right place for your money.
Okay. So let's say someone used 4,000 for the lifetime ISA, then the remaining 16,000 they can plan on stock and shares or cash. Again, it depending upon
where they still have the £16,000 remaining balance to place in the other types of ISA.
And I think this is one of the best deals so far in the whole world, apart from I think US, where they have a Roth IRA or something.
Yeah, you know, as much as there's a high tax regime here in the UK, to some extent, for other extents, there are very good tax allowances for saving and investing. And, you know, the ISA allows you to place £20,000 in a tax-free way every year. That is a very good scheme.
And I've read a lot of ISA millionaires as well in the UK, where they just invested on stock ISA schemes and they become a millionaire, right? That those are some good take on people, because it's not a short-term plan, it's always a long-term plan. If you're thinking of, you know, 15 years, 20 years, you can use stock and share. If not, then cash.
Exactly. That's
So then comes to my next question. Like, there is a debate. Whenever I speak with someone, some people, they are interested more on pensions rather than investing on ISAs, because they think paying the tax and then only we are, you know, investing on ISAs. Why don't we invest on pension and get more benefit before that? So what's your take on that?
Yeah, well, you know, again, it's always going to be the same starting point in terms of it depends on what your goals are. It depends on what your time horizons are. It depends on your own individual circumstances, because there's no point a 21-year-old fresh out of university who's just started his first job maximizing his pension, because he's not going to be able to use it until he's 57.
Correct.
Right? So at that point, he's not making the best financial decision there if he has a short-term need for these funds.
Mm.
Right? He's placing excess funds into a long-term investment vehicle, which he's not going to be able to access for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is okay as long as it suits his lifestyle. But if it's in replacement of investing through something like an ISA,
mm-hmm.
he needs to understand the differences between access dates for each product.
Okay.
So the pension is a very tax-efficient way of investing, right? Of course. If you're a higher rate taxpayer, then it's even more beneficial. Yeah. If you're an additional rate taxpayer, then again, it's even more beneficial. If you fall between £100,000 and £125,000 in terms of your annual income, then it's incredibly beneficial because you're trapped in a 60% tax trap,
mm-hmm.
where you only receive £4 net for every £10 you earn,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas if you are in that bracket and you placed that £10 of gross income into a pension, well, you've increased your overall wealth by £10, right? So I think that it's all, again, about what are your circumstances?
Mm.
How have you saved in the past? How have you invested in the past? Have you already maximized your ISA allowance for the year? Have you already maximized your pension allowance for the year? Some people, when they earn over £240,000,
mm-hmm.
they start to lose their pension annual allowance,
okay.
right? And so for those people, it becomes a case of we're no longer able to pay the full £60,000 into our pension. What are our alternative options?
Mm.
And that's where we can help.
We can help, yeah, all right. And when we are investing on ISA schemes or even on pension, what type of fund do you recommend, or do you recommend any type of fund? Because I know people sometimes they want to invest on individual stocks and sometimes it may go up and think, but I don't want to take any risk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to look into all the stocks, and rather I put in a fund which can grow and, you know, give me a good return of, mm-hmm. you know, at least say 6 to 8 or 9% thing. So do you come across clients who are confused about that, or do you recommend on choosing the fund, and how does it work when we are investing in a stock? Can we pick up certain fund, mm-hmm. even in pensions? Because I know there are a lot of workplace pensions as well, but a lot of people doesn't know where their investment are going on which fund. So can you educate about that? Can we go and choose our own fund, or which fund and all those things?
Yeah, so if you're choosing to set up an ISA on your own, and let's call it a stocks and shares ISA, you will have the ability to place the funds that go into the ISA into stocks, into shares, into investment funds,
mm-hmm.
into bonds, into gold, into property funds and fixed interest securities,
mm-hmm.
right? I can't sit here and recommend what fund to use, because as I always say, it comes back to what are your circumstances? What are your time horizons for using these funds? What is your attitude to risk? Are you cautious? Are you balanced? Are you adventurous? Do you even understand what that means,
mm-hmm.
from a risk-taking point of view,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to investments? So I think that that fund investigation journey can only begin to take place once you've had a conversation with an advisor,
yes.
so that they can understand what your goals are, what your horizon is, and what your risk level is.
Mm. And one question about that pension, because even a lot of people, they have the workplace pension. That is a way they can go and switch to right fund rather than the recommended.
Possibly. And, you know, there is no right or wrong fund. But I think that it comes down to, if you are in a place where you have significantly old pension schemes, where, you know, you've been working for 20, 30, 40 years, and you've got all of these old style pension schemes, which probably have been left on autopilot since the day you joined the company, well, the chances are they're not in the right fund today because time has passed. Changes have happened across the world and you need to probably review the investments of each scheme. But that can only happen when you've tracked down each pension scheme, when you understand the structure of the pension scheme you're working with. Is it a defined benefit scheme? Is it a defined contribution scheme? What are the differences between the two? What options do you have for investments within that structure? Because some providers will only allow you to invest within their fund network. Other providers will allow you to invest across the open market. So it all depends on the structure, the investments you're currently in, and your time horizon for retirement.
Okay, and still, like, I believe like a lot of people are not using all the ISAs or even not even the pension schemes. They think investing is risk. What's your take on that? Why people, you know, you would have spoken with a lot of people and still they're not convinced with these ISA scheme or stock and shares because there's a fear factor into it. What do you recommend for those?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that risk is defined by volatility, right? And volatility is determined by the level of equity holdings you have, right? So if you are in a 100% equity portfolio, then over a short period of time, your investments are going to look like that, right? And that is okay if you have the time horizon to allow that level of volatility to follow an internal pattern of growth, right? Now, if your time horizon is shorter than anything around 5 years, then that's probably too much risk to take, right? You probably want to be rolling that back into something where there's not going to be that level of volatility, but there may be a smaller amount. So that will be determined by the equity holdings you have in the investment fund. And so you maybe want to go from 100% equity to 20% equity or 0% equity if your time horizon and your risk profile match those conditions.
Okay. Let's say, like, people have invested on their own without asking any financial advice, let's say. And what stage of their life they need to have a checkpoint? Like, let's say, okay, if someone started in their 20s, let's say good, if they started in 20s, and what is the checkpoint? At what stage they need to, you know, pause and, you know, to check that with an advisor?
Every year. Yeah. You know, your circumstances are always changing. There's always things coming. There's always things going. There's always, you know, changes to your life. So every time there's a significant change, at the very least, you should sense check your risk profile, your investment funds, all of that. But I think that the most important thing is firstly understanding where they are to start with, and secondly, working with somebody to make sure they're always in the right place for your individual circumstances. And then just to go back to the question on risk, you know, if we reverse the role of time horizon and we say that somebody has a long time horizon but they're sat in a low equity holding or a cash position, then yes, there's no risk of the investments falling in value because you're in fixed interest securities, right? The risk that you have is inflation.
Okay.
Now, inflation is going to eat away that cash holding that you have over time so that you're not earning any real term money on the savings you've made, which is the biggest risk we all could face.
All right. So that means, like, anyone wants to invest or thinking of the plan or future retirement or retire early, we recommend them to at least have yearly once a meetup with a financial advisor like you to have their plan. And why do you think most of the people are not even taking these kind of advice? What's stopping them? Still, they need a financial freedom.
I think it's, you know, there's a lack of trust in the industry.
Okay.
And there's a lack of who do I turn to, right? Yeah. Because if you've never worked with a financial advisor and you've never spoken with a financial advisor, how do you pick one, right? And that's why it's very important to either get a good recommendation from somebody who you know has worked with somebody, or meet with a number of advisors, try and understand that the relationship is supposed to be built on the long term.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, you need a good relationship from the beginning to be to allow yourself to work with that person for a significant period of time.
And you are an FCA regulated advisor. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does FCA regulated advisor mean? Like, is that like a trust for us to believe?
It is a trust because I'm regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Okay.
So anything that I advise upon is backed by my qualifications, by my regulatory status, and by, you know, the Financial Ombudsman compensation scheme, right? But I think that trust is only built over time,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to be able to trust somebody just because they say they're an FCA regulated advisor, because as with all industries, there's good people and there's bad people within the industry, right? So it's about understanding who do you want to work with, who do you believe you can work with, and are they willing to work with you? Because lots of advisors across the industry will have a minimum requirement before they start working with people. Now, that causes shame and negativity if you are at the lower end of the scale or if you're just starting out on the investment and savings and planning journey, right? So find somebody that isn't going to be dismissive of your financial position, because that will allow you to grow together your own funds and their journey.
On that point, like, I don't want to mention a company, but there are certain financial advisors who work for certain fund companies who have their own fund. And they recommend their managed fund, mm-hmm. and they try to sell that one, right?
Yeah.
But the main point of, as even Plauta, we like to bring your, you know, advisor like Josh. The main thing is we want to work with people who have, you know, we want them to work with your goal, mm-hmm. rather than selling something what you want to sell.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. It comes down to, you know, who do you work for, right? And as an advisor, I always prided myself on working for the client, right? Working for you to find the best solution. Now, if I can do that, great. If I can't, let me refer you to somebody who can. Now, across the industry, there are independent advisors, restricted advisors, tied advisors, and that changes the availability of certain products or investments or structures that they can offer, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it just means that at some point they potentially are not working in your best interest. Now, that may be true, that may not be true, but more importantly than that is that you do work with somebody rather than not working with somebody.
So the takeaway is, make sure you have a financial advisor. Book a call with a financial advisor.
Just get a get an understanding of what that really means. That first call will be able to give you an insight into what they can do for you. What value can they add to your life?
Yeah.
Right. And if you get off the back of that introductory call, you'll know what value they can add. And if there's value to be added, then start planning together. If there's not, then try and book a call with somebody else to find the right person for you.
And most of the time, the financial, like even you go and meet the client face to face as well. That's what you recommend.
You know, before doing business with, you know, most of my clients, it's important for me to meet with them face to face, because that's when you get a real sense of who they are, right? Now, introductory calls, planning meetings, they can all be done over the phone, over Teams, over Zoom, you know, whatever it is. But before you get to a place where you're trusting them to invest your funds, it can be important for people to meet them face to face so that they know, they're real, right? So, you know, who is Joshua? Who are Plauta? Who are Fusion Financial? Who is this? Who is that?
Got it. And when we're talking about the risk, the other thing is now all this AI in the market, a lot of people on their YouTube shorts and videos claiming like, oh, we are using AI chat or AI chat GPT or different channels to generate X amount of money through trading or to investing. What's your take on that?
Well, I think, you know, that's a different... It's not what I do. So it comes down to, what are you looking for? Are you looking to work with somebody or a platform or a program or a computer to generate you quick profits through trading, or are you looking to go on a financial planning journey so that you can reach retirement with financial freedom and financial well-being? Yeah. And that's what we do. We don't trade. We're not looking for short-term returns. We're not looking for, you know, high multi-percentage figures for returns each year. We're looking for safe, sustainable investments that will provide you with the growth that you need to follow the plan that we put together together.
Okay. And the final question is, like, I know people are not always in a hurry, right? They want to make everything done quicker. But I know the financial, you know, investing is not like, it's a very long-term plan, right?
Yeah.
It's a very, you need to be very patient and investing and things. Well, what do you suggest? Like, when people are having that mindset of investing, you know, setting up their goal to retire earlier thing, it's a long-term plan.
Yeah.
So that I believe that investment should be like that.
Exactly.
Long. So what do you suggest for people, like, when they are coming to investment, how long is that plan to work? Like,
it depends on where you are today,
okay,
right? If you're 60 and you want to understand your options as you approach that retirement age, well, your journey is much shorter than somebody who's 30, looking to get started early, looking to have a really long-term plan focused on retiring early. Now, again, like I always say, it comes down to what your circumstances are, what are your goals, what are you looking to achieve, what are you working with? How much is coming in each month? How much is coming out each month? Can we work together? What's the plan?
Yeah. And the thumb rule is start early. Start today.
Start early. But, you know, the biggest thing that people say to me is, I wish I'd met you 10 years ago.
10 years
ago. Right? But the counter to that is, at least you're not meeting me in 10 years' time.
Yeah,
so
good.
Whether you have started or whether you haven't started, whether you're just figuring out whether you want to start, start when you can.
So invest today, right now. Right. That's the whole point.
Open up the conversation. Open
yeah.
up the conversations.
Okay, cool. Hi, I'm Vignesh, founder of Plowdown. If managing money feels confusing or just not made for you, you're not alone and you are in the right place. Plowdown is here to help you understand your money and build real financial freedom one step at a time. In this channel, we share easy to follow videos on things like budgeting, saving, investing, pension, and even how to plan your inheritance tax. Our goal is simple, to help you feel more confident and in control of your money. If that sounds useful, hit the subscribe and join our growing community of people on the journey to financial freedom. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next video.